Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube. No, I don't want to update this computer. Relax. Good gracious. I'm Craig Hoffman. That's Anthony Haney. I'm tired, Anthony.
You tired?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm tired right now. I've been going. I got up this morning, ate, worked out, came back, showered. Packed a protein shake, got in the car, got on my horse, my car, went to ESA. We were at the Mystics game this morning, the preseason game. Then we came here, taped an interview with someone, and now like an interview for them, not for me, not for the show. All of our interviews are live today. And we got a bunch of them, including Todd McShay coming up at 4:30. Russell just talked to Bill. Pretty cool. It's Corey Kroski Mayer. If you missed that, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. And now we have 3 hours of live radio. I also, Anthony, was just very confused because our show folder today, like where we put all our stuff, I created a folder and it's 5-6, as in May 6th, because the last folder that we had is 5-5. It's the 7th. And I had a mini momentary mental freak out. No! Shut up. We had a momentary mental freak out. Because I was like, oh, I got to change the date on the YouTube stream. I said it was 5-7. Wait, no, today is the 7th. Anthony, we didn't work yesterday.
Yeah, that's why I was trying to figure out why you're tired. Because me, on the other hand, Craig, I'm well rested. I'm energized. I was in here dancing with AMAC earlier, you know, showing him some moves.
What'd you guys do?
What'd you say?
What'd you guys do? What kind of moves?
Well, he was asking me what kind of dance moves are for millennials or like middle-aged millennials. And I was like... teach me how to Dougie for sure.
Yeah.
But then you include the drop, the nene, the whip, the yeet, the, I forgot the name of this one. Kill him, the terrio. So, yeah, I was giving him a little refresher on some of the dance moves.
Because is he a Gen Z?
No, he's a millennial.
He's just a younger millennial, even younger than you.
Well, he's a year older than me, actually.
Oh.
I think I'm the youngest because I'm the last 6 months of being considered a millennial.
Are you really that tight to the
96, line? Man, 81 to 96. Yep.
Interesting. Speaking of interesting, what the hell horse race? What was Russell doing? We got like, I don't even know what this is called.
I don't either. That's interesting though.
Some kind of horse racing where you got people behind the horses and they're like being pulled in carts. We're gonna change that. We're gonna. Watch something else. Maybe we'll put a little NFL live on. That's They're going to be talking about the Cowboys. We're going to talk about the Cowboys coming up at 5 o'clock. They, of course, traded for George Pickens today. Our pal Mike Leslie from WFAA, the ABC affiliate down in Dallas, is going to join us. But we're going to start talking not about why I'm tired or millennial dance moves or anything else, Anthony, although I guess technically we did start that way. We're going to jump in earnest into the show, talking a little NBA. And we'll save the Warriors game for 5 minutes or you know, whatever the next segment is, 8 minutes from now. But, Cleveland. Cleveland. Also, no home team has won yet in the second round of the playoffs.
Nope.
We are entering day three of the second round of the playoffs tonight.
Yep.
So you've had the Celtics lose at home to the Knicks.
Yep.
The Cavs have lost to the Pacers twice.
Yep.
And then last night, the T-Wolves lost to a mostly Steph Curry-less Warriors.
Yep.
And they're going to face a Steph Curry-less Warriors coming up. We'll talk more about that again in a few minutes. But the Pacers were down 17. 17.
22.
It got up to 22?
No. They were down 20.
Oh, but they were down 17 going into the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back. And they needed to miss a free throw intentionally. And then they did. And Tyrese Halliburton got his own rebound. A mortal sin on a fifth grade basketball team. Who's got the shooter? I don't know. No one wearing a what do they call it? Wine and burgundy uniform. That's the Cavs colors. Not a single one of them. He gets the ball back. Bang, bang. Hits a three. Take your overrated chance. Shove them where the sun don't shine. And I actually had this thought. I was texting a little bit with our guy, Zach Harper, over the last couple of days of watching Hoops and thinking back to the conversation that Zach and I had a month or 3 weeks ago talking about the NBA draft lottery and how we should be incentivizing teams to win. And if they fall short, like you shouldn't be like, oh, sorry, you get a crappy lottery pick. It should be like, oh, you just fell short. Let's see what happens if we give you a young superstar with the top pick in the draft. And let's not even unweight the lottery. Let's reverse weight the lottery. Could you imagine if like the Pacers had another star, how good they would be? Because all they've done is taken the picks that they've got. One, they hit on Tyrese Halliburton in a way nobody thought Tyrese Halliburton could be hit upon. He's a genuine, you know, all NBA second team type of player. He's awesome. And then they've taken a whole bunch of guys who are really athletic, play really hard, that are just good basketball players. They're well-coached. Nobody seems to have a huge ego, except for they collectively have an enormous ego. They believe they can beat anyone. And they just go out and we're not scared anytime, anywhere. And I don't know if the Pacers can win a championship. I'm pretty sure they're not good enough to win a championship. But man, are they going to always get the most out of their roster. And I think that is just so tremendously fun. And really, frankly, not, you want championships as a sports fan, but if you can't guarantee a championship, that's what you want. You want a team that's going to go out and play as hard as they possibly can, that you're going to have a lot of fun watching. And the Pacers tick every single box along that.
Yeah, and that's the good thing about the Pacers, because they don't get away from their identity. All yesterday when they were down 20, the broadcast team, your guy Spiro Dedis, they kept on saying, oh, this team can't, you know, win off the dribble. They just play team basketball. And guess what? In the fourth quarter, when the Cavs had not a lot in the tank and they weren't able to get around them screens and, you know, they were giving up threes and things of that nature, it ended up, you know, working for the Pacers. And it's just a testament to, like, who they are. Like, they didn't get away from, like, their identity and just being able to – I mean, at the end, I just understood it's four quarters in the game. Like, those first three quarters, they definitely got outplayed. But Donovan Mitchell wore down. That's why at the end of the game, when you saw him not box out Tyrese Halliburton, Tyrese Halliburton gets his own offensive rebound, and he hits the shot at the end. It's just like, it's four quarters. Donovan Mitchell clearly needs help because his 48 wasn't enough. But, you know, hopefully they get, you know, their guys back in game three.
I mean,
if they don't, they're in trouble.
Think of the sentence you just said. His 48 points are not enough.
It wasn't. I
mean, come on. We gotta get some help. We gotta get some help. For Donovan Mitchell. But that's the other thing, too, is like, you know, we think we know what's going to happen in certain playoff series, and then injuries have a massive effect because the help for Donovan Mitchell is Darius Garland. He's out. Evan Mobley last night. Out. Like, you are missing DeAndre Hunter. Like, you are missing two borderline all-stars in Garland and Mobley. And a guy that's making, how much is DeAndre Hunter making?
I don't know, but he's been a great piece. I don't know, they won like 12 straight games when they first acquired him.
Yeah, he's real good. DeAndre Hunter contract. He signed a four-year, $90 million extension with the Hawks a couple years ago. Like, just a really, really genuinely good basketball player. And a guy that plays both ends of the floor, but can create shots if you need reliable knockdown shooter. Like, of course this Cleveland team is struggling. The fact that they won, or that they were up 20, is a testament to how great Donovan Mitchell was last night. But at the end of the day, you gotta have your talent. Indiana's found a way to keep theirs on the floor. Cleveland's hurt, and now they're gonna need to win four of five games, including three on the road, if they're gonna to advance on to the Eastern Conference Finals in a season where they were the dominant number one seed in the Eastern Conference. The Warriors have been stunningly good in the playoffs without Steph Curry over their history. But is this team going to be able to do what they did last night against the Minnesota Timberwolves without Curry, who's out for the next week with a hamstring strain? We will discuss what we saw last night and what we can expect moving forward next, before Todd McShay joins us, talking about why he was so fond of the Commanders draft, coming up at 4:30.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's off the show. We're on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Todd McShay is going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes here on the show. Of course, McShay with the Ringer now. He is an NFL draft analyst for years with ESPN. And he was one of the first people in the aftermath of the NFL draft to be like, yo, no one's talking enough about what the Commanders did. So why is he so high on what Washington did, what Adam Peters did? We'll talk to McShay coming up in just a little bit. But last night, as we wrap up our NBA talk here off the top of the show, Steph Curry goes down middle of the second quarter for the Warriors. Just feels a little twinge in his hamstring, and tries to shake it out. Doesn't shake out because it's strained, and he ultimately asks out of the game and is like, "Hey, Steve, I need someone to come play." And it's reported by Shams Charania earlier today from ESPN that he is not only not going to play in game two, but he's out for at least a week. So that is the latest on that. But despite that, Anthony, the Warriors win and win handedly. They win 99-88 in what is obviously a pretty putrid offensive game all around. The Wolves in this game shot 5 of 29 from 3. Just some horrid shooting performances in a couple of these games. 5 of 29, that's after the Celtics. The Celtics missed 45 threes in their game one loss to the Knicks. And to me, the way the Warriors won this is actually the most interesting thing, Anthony, because if they can be great defensively, they can win this series without Curry. If it becomes a shootout and Anthony Edwards is starting to go crazy, you need Curry scoring. And last night, by the way, they were plus 10 in 13 minutes with Curry on the floor. He went 5 of 9 and hit 3 threes on 6 attempts. So, like I said going into the series, after he was on the in the Amen Thompson clamps for the Houston series, he was going to feel like a free man. And sure enough, he's literally firing up a 3 every other minute in this game, and then he gets hurt. So from a scoring standpoint, this is going to hurt a lot. But if you're telling me we're replacing Curry with Moses Moody and Gary Payton II, and defensively you're just going to be a really, really nasty team that then offensively is running your stuff through Jimmy Butler, slowing it down, get him the ball in the mid post, Buddy Hield's running all over the place cutting. Like, that's a formula that you can take one of the next three games with. And if you get back to game five at 2-2 and Curry comes back, now you got to win 2 out of 3 to win the series. And they certainly can do that. It's not ideal. 2 of those 3 games would be on the road, but they just won on the road without him. So that's kind of where I'm at going into this. This is obviously a huge bummer. But considering how they won, if they can repeat 90% of the performance defensively, I actually think they can be okay. And they're going to play very differently, but there's a path here.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at the game, the Timberwolves last game against the Lakers, they didn't shoot the ball extremely well. So I think Minnesota, they've shown that they can overcome, shooting woes. But their last two games, Craig, going 12 for 76 from 3.
Did you see when Dave McMenamin asked Ant about those, him and Julius Randle,
yeah,
in the postgame, and Anthony Edwards' face almost fell off of his face?
It's ridiculous. How
he was just like, mouth just jaw dropped. Randle just starts laughing, and they start looking, and he's just like, oh my God. And yep. McMenamin's laughing, asking the question. He's like, I don't know what to tell you guys. Like, these are the stats. And they're like, damn, it didn't realize it was that bad.
Yeah, so they've definitely been shooting the ball well, including Anthony Edwards. And in the first half, he only had 1 point. He went 0 for 8 from the field, and it's because he was settling all jump shots, Craig. Second half, he turned it up more downhill, and even like, in the fourth quarter, we saw Rudy Gobert getting a little involved. So I think the Timberwolves, they're going to focus on, attacking the paint, just because, again, the Golden State Warriors are undersized. The tallest guy, 6'7". Kevon Looney, when he steps on the floor, he's 6'9". But they are a small team, and settling for threes, especially if you're missing, only goes in the favor of the Golden State Warriors. So I think they're going to have to adjust their game plan, and that's the good thing about series. Like, we got to see like what team adjusts and how they can take advantage of those adjustments.
Quinn Post becomes a really interesting guy, the Golden State rookie who can provide them a little bit of offense because he can shoot it,
yeah,
and provides them size,
yeah.
And so I kind of wonder, I know this sounds weird, but like, instead of saying, all right, we're gonna put Moses Moody in the starting lineup, do you just play Post? Like, does your starting lineup become Green, Butler, Post, Hield, Pajemski, and say, we'll trust Pajemski and Butler and Draymond. Like, Draymond plays point forward anyway.
Yeah.
It keeps us, and now all of a sudden we're like really big. The Pajemski is your smallest guy, and he's typically playing a two guard anyway. But you just go that route and say, we get a little extra shooting on the floor. We're going to play some inverted pick and roll stuff or some pick and pop stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of stuff you can do if you're Steve Kerr to try to take some different swipes at this. Obviously, Looney as a more traditional big, you know, last night he's got 6 rebounds in 14 minutes. You know you can count on him. You have the Kuminga card you can play if you want just more scoring punch, period. And then you have Moody if you just want to get really, really, really defensive. Moody was minus 14 in 9 minutes. Post, by the way, plus 14 in 6 minutes last night. So yeah. Fun with small sample sizes. He didn't really do anything in those minutes. He had 1 rebound. That was it in 6 minutes. But when he's on the floor, like, clearly things went well. So I think the knowing how athletic and how up and down Minnesota's capable of being, and knowing that, like, when they slow the game down, it's not like Rudy Gobert becomes this impossible to deal with offensive force. Do you just slow the game down if you're Golden State? Try to make sure you get good shots, hit a high percentage, even if it's a lower number of total volume than you typically get. Set your defense and make life miserable for them offensively and try to ride that. That would be my game plan. But Steve Kerr's getting paid a lot more money to be a lot smarter than me, and he knows his team a lot better. But that's, I think, how I would treat it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you got to do. You got to run through Jimmy. You got to run through Draymond. It's not going to be the same kind of, run and gun that you had with Steph Curry. And even with him, like, it's not necessarily run and gun.
You have to change your offense. Like, yeah. Instead of being a motion offense where everything is built off of Steph's movement, you just say, like, everybody spread out. Ball's going to Jimmy at the high post. You know, as Jimmy said, by the way, real things today is all Jimmy Butler and Buddy Hield, and I can't wait for it. But, like, you know, Buddy, you're not a cutter. But, like, Pajemski is. Draymond is. Post can space the floor. Buddy can space the floor. And, you know, Moody's a great cutter. Kuminga's a great cutter. So there's things you can do. Yep. Yeah, GP is an unbelievable cutter. So definitely things the Warriors can do. Going to be a lot of fun to watch the chess match in the series without Kerr. And then we'll see what happens when we get back. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll preview tonight's action in the NBA as round 2 continues. Up next, though, the Ringers, Todd McShay.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Stop and Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. NFL Draft is in the books, but when we can get really smart people on to continue to talk about it, get new perspectives, then we're going to do that. And there are a few better in the NFL Draft space than Todd McShay. Of course, years at ESPN now with The Ringer, doing a great podcast there. Actually, I was listening to the show this morning. I want to ask him about why he did the episode that he did in his most recent episode as well. But we're going to talk mostly about the Commanders Draft with Todd. Now, Todd, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. Welcome to the show.
Good to be on with you, man. So someone still wants to talk to me. That's a good thing.
Yeah, still want to talk to you. Look, man, we're doing a sports radio show. This time of year, it's like, oh, man, the draft's over. What do we talk about? Especially, the Wizards are hopefully going to make the playoffs eventually. We don't have NBA playoffs to talk about. We're not a show that does a ton of hockey. So if we can stretch the football content, you know how that goes. And if not, Todd, now that you're doing the show year-round, you're going to learn.
I am learning on the fly, I promise.
Yeah, for sure. So again, Todd's show now going year-round. He was joking on the show today. Typically got to go into hibernation until at least August, but nope, he's year-round now. And I just want to start, Todd, you mentioned on one of your shows recently, post-draft, that you don't think people are talking enough about what the Commanders did. What about what Adam Peters and his team did here in D.C.? Did you like so much that you don't know that they're getting enough credit for just how smart it was?
I mean, the first, four picks, I guess it was, in my opinion, they were kind of ahead of the curve and got players, or the first three, I should say, got players that absolutely, like, I expected to come off the board earlier than they did. Josh Connerly at 29, I guess it wasn't that much later than what I expected, but it also was an offensive tackle run that happened fast, and when the shelf fell off, there was just nothing left, you know? We can get into all of them, but Connerly specifically, and I'm guessing people were like, well, we just brought in Laramie Tunsil, and, you know, we're drafting a left tackle, and he played left tackle at Oregon the last couple of years, but Connerly's 21 years old, man. Like, he's just a pup. And a lot of people in the league think, and I tend to agree, like, this is a player who, with continued, like, strength development, his core strength and continuing a little bit with the hand usage, he can develop into a really good starting left tackle. But right now, he might be a really good starting guard in the NFL. And you say, is that what we really wanted to spend in the first round pick? And my answer is, like, look at where some of the guards went. You know, we had a guard taken at 12 in Tyler Booker. We had another one in Zabel. We had Donovan Jackson all going the first round. And again, like, Laramie Tunsil is a great player. Laramie Tunsil turns 31 years old in August, and he's on his third team. And so this may not be – it is a tremendous signing, and it may be a tremendous signing and acquisition and, an asset for this team, especially with a young star quarterback. There's nothing more important than protecting him. But it may only – maybe it's only for a couple of years, and maybe you're developing – Josh Connerly, and also don't forget Sam Cosmi is coming off of the surgery,
right?
And you know, it's pointing towards he'll be ready, but you don't know. And so if the best asset in this organization is Jaden Daniels, you better be prepared to protect him, and you better have backup plans. And so if you draft maybe a starting guard or a guy who can play multiple positions along your line at 21 years old and can develop him, you know, the fastest 10-yard split of any offensive lineman this past year. You watch him, like, ultra quick feet, fits that system perfectly with the zone blocking. Like, I think if you have to just watch one tape, go watch Penn State. He's the only guy that really gave Abdul Carter fits and kind of pissed him off, to be honest. He got frustrated as the game went on. So there's just a lot to like there in terms of the development. And he, you know, we can get into the rest of the picks, but I like the foresight and the flexibility for this year, but also maybe you're getting your starting left tackle for 3 years down the road, and you did it late in the first round. It's an organization that didn't have a ton of foresight for a long, long time. And now they're acting the part, and I just appreciated that. I was curious to see, are they even drafted this late? They haven't been a playoff team. How do they handle this? And I think Adam Peters, like right out of the gate, is making personnel decisions that are a step ahead that we're used to seeing from like the Ravens when they had Ozzie and Eric DaCosta. We're used to seeing from Howie Roseman and Brett Veach with the Chiefs, Roseman with the Eagles, obviously. Like, I appreciate what they're doing as an organization now.
So we will get into the other picks, but let's stick with Connerly for a second, because I think the thought here, Todd, is that he's probably going to play right tackle with Brandon Coleman kicking inside. But Dan Quinn, it was very clear, like, these guys are going to compete. That's how they do business here. And so if Coleman winds up being the better tackle and Connerly winds up being the better guard, they could certainly go that route until Tunsil's time is done at left tackle, and then one of them presumably kicks back out there. But when you think of other guys that have started, like Tristan Wirfs is obviously the ultimate example, and I don't think anyone thinks Connerly's going to become Wirfs, because why would you? Because Wirfs might be the best tackle in the whole league, and projecting that is bold. But when you think about guys that either start at tackle, right tackle, and then kick to left, or play guard and then kick back outside of tackle, how does that typically work from a development standpoint, and how viable is that development plan?
I think it's very viable when you have his tools, his athleticism, his movement skills, and again, you're only 21 years old. That's what they're betting on here, and it's honestly a really good bet, because I'll be interested to see with the right tackle if that's how they wind up going. Like, he didn't look great as a right tackle at the Senior Bowl at times, but he was a full time starting left tackle, 3 years, 2 year starter at Oregon at the left tackle position, and so people always say, well, you can just kick outside to right if you played left. That can be a harder transition just with the steps and kind of mirroring in reverse order what you're doing. But again, when you're that young and you have that athleticism, these are things that I really think that he's capable of doing. That's what they see in him, is that versatility, whether it's at right tackle, at guard early, and maybe eventually at left tackle. It's a plan, and it gives, you know what it does more than anything? It gives you flexibility. If he does work out a right tackle, Coleman kicks inside the guard, you hope the Cosme comes back and is 100%. You just can't enter the season with any quarterback, but especially when it's your star quarterback that is carrying this team. You have to make sure that you have that solidified. And I think that the organization, that was a major step towards solidifying that offensive line for a while.
Todd McShay, NFL draft analyst for The Ringer, with us here on The Hoffman Show. Of course, Craig Hoffman with you here on the Team 980. There's some new reporting today about Trey Amos, Todd, that apparently there was like a back injury that some teams discovered late in the process that might have caused him to drop. Adam Peters seemed genuinely stunned he was there for him at 61. Where were you on Amos? Where did you have him? And, you know, how nervous if you get told late in the process, like, oh, he's got something with his back. How far would that have dropped him potentially on your board?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that part comes down to the medical team and what they like. What does that entail? Is that it's going to be something that is hindering him? Is that something that we're worried about the long term? And obviously, you know, the organization, when it comes to medical and it comes to you know, the character can be different. When it's the medical, you have the scouting combine, then you have the combine rechecks. Each team has their own doctors, and there's very few things that get past NFL teams from a medical standpoint. What is the difference from organization to organization is what they deem acceptable, right? And so for one team, it could be take them off the board. I'm not saying Amos specifically. I'm saying in general.
Right.
A certain injury could be take them off the board. Another one could be, well, we value the first and second round picks as, you know, we have to hit on starters, and if this is a concern for the first, you know. So there's different medical standards for each team. What I can tell you is that there was some back information that came out, and I don't know how late you want to call it, but I also know that most evaluators had him late first, early second. You know, and it's a guy who played 34 games at Louisiana Lafayette, transferred to Alabama, kind of just – and I give him a lot of credit, man. It's kind of like, it didn't work out here, moving on. And then came to Ole Miss in 13 starts and played his best ball. He's got the height, you know, almost 6'1", well-packed together, longer arms, and he's just like cover three, quarters, press man. He can do it all. And I think his eyes in zone and man coverage, I really think he's got the chance to continue to get better with more game experience. And he had three interceptions last year, but I think he's one of those guys that can take the football away. And now you kind of shift your focus now that you have this offense that you have with the quarterback that you have. And it becomes about being like fierce, aggressive, getting the ball, taking it away, finding ways to get the ball in Jaden's hands more. And I think Amos fits that plan.
And we know that's how Dan Quinn wants to play, aggressive, you know, violent.
Exactly.
You know, he fits the culture. He fits their prototype. When you think about the cornerback position specifically, Todd, as someone who's done this for as long as you have, scouting corners, like corner is the most volatile position probably in the entire league. I mean, forget trying to project college guys. You have guys that have been all pros that 2 years later are out of the league because they change systems, they change schemes, and the cliff is so steep. At the end,
yes.
What are some of the things that you really prioritize at corner that you found, okay, I can rely upon this, and then maybe another trait that you typically go, all right, that part is a projection. There's nothing I can do about that.
It is, you're absolutely right. It's not a tricky position necessarily to evaluate, like the talent level. It's so much contingent on them landing in the right place in the right scheme. Generally speaking, teams don't draft a square to put it in a circle hole, you know. They know what they're looking for, but that doesn't mean that scheme's going to be the same in a year or two, right? Mm. Or, and I've even seen this year, there's some defensive coordinators that are moving over that are like zone heavy, don't play a lot of cover three, play cover two, whatever it is. And now all of a sudden you get all this personnel, and so guys are moving around. That's the hard part that can't be necessarily predicted, although you trust that NFL teams are going to draft them. I think here's the thing. There are three things that are really important with cornerbacks. One to me is if you're probably no position has a combination of two measurables that are more important than arm length and 40 time for a corner, especially most importantly for man-to-man cover corners. Okay. The second part is the ball skills. What is their, and it's not necessarily even the interceptions, like do they have great hands or they play corner because they're not a receiver. It's more how comfortable are they when the ball's in the air. You really want to study a guy and figure out like the projection. How does he look in that final split second when the ball's in the air, his back's turned to the quarterback, and like, is he making a lot of contact? Are there pass interferences? Is he getting lost? Like, you can be in perfect phase and have unbelievable coverage, but if you go to turn your head around and you get lost frequently, that's something that typically doesn't change. It's kind of like an instinct and a feel. And then the third thing to me, and I think it gets overlooked a lot, especially with guys that are playing like off coverage zone, football intelligence. Like, Richard Sherman had terrible, you know, 40 time and all those. Richard Sherman was brilliant, and he just diagnosed things faster. And it's not just about like reading the quarterback's eyes, which everyone thinks, and absolutely is an important part. It's also about studying and the tendencies. And if he's going to stem this route this way, then I need to protect myself because he likes to double move up. You know, like. It's putting in the work combined with a level of football intelligence. And that's what I see. And those guys can typically play a little bit of multiple scheme and do different things. Like Charvarius Ward, for example, for San Francisco, one of the reasons why he's so successful when he was in San Francisco and he moved in the offseason is that he could do multiple things because he's got such good football intelligence. And so it's kind of a combination of all those things. I know I went on a rant, but excuse me, the thing that I like about Amos is, and I started off by saying, like, he can play cover three, play quarters. He can play press man. So I think that they like the fact that his football intelligence and the way he tracked this past year shows a player that's ascending in that regard.
Todd McShay, NFL draft analyst for The Ringer, with us for a few more minutes here on The Hoffman Show. You said you like their first three first-round picks. And actually, you guys mentioned on your show that I listened to this morning, your most recent podcast episode, about Jalen Lane. Why are you so high on Lane? And why were you, along with Adam Peters, surprised that he was available for them at pick 128 towards the end of the fourth round?
I really would have started off the show this way. Instead of Connerly, I should have
said,
I love Jalen Lane, man. I love him. I know he's 5'9 and three quarters, but he's well built at 191. He's got longer arms. He ran a 4.34. Listen to this. You ready? You probably heard it at this point. You probably heard everything about it. But no wide receiver in the past decade at the combine has posted a better trio of results in the 40, which he ran a 4.34, the broad jump, 11 foot, and the three cone. And wow. So you're talking the top end speed, the broad jump is the lower body explosiveness, and then the three cone is the like the change of direction, body control, stop, start, all, you know, like, and then you watch him on tape. And here's the thing, like, Jalen Lane he began his career at Middle Tennessee State, obviously wound up at Virginia Tech in 2023. He was the best receiver. His numbers just sucked because they didn't have a quarterback throwing the ball. He combined for 79 catches, just over 1,000 yards. But when you look at what he had to do in order to get that production, it was like bubble screens, quick game, reverses. Like the return game, he's outstanding. He was 26 nationally in combined kickoff. Combined kick return yards going back to 2021 and ranked second nationally in punt return average with 15.5 back at MTSU. So this guy does a little bit of everything. He's really good with the ball in his hands. Like, that's where he's excellent. I think he might be the most underrated wide receiver from this entire class. And then I think about him in Cliff's system and what they like to do. And, like, wouldn't it be nice to get the ball out and get into a guy that can create something on one of these quick hitters, you know? And they've got Terry, and they've got Debo, but now they've got one of those, like, guys, you know? And as a route runner, he's not refined yet, but I watched him, like, if you do these clip reels that we have on the tape with, like, we combine with, like, Catapult video with the PFF Ultimate, and you can do it by clips of, like, routes 11 to 20 yards, and different, you know, to show the intermediate. When he actually did it, he's like, there's some Tank Dell type stuff in there, like the footwork and the quickness. So I just, and then talking to scouts that I really trust, the leadership, football character, all the things, like, he just fits. He's going to fit really well in that room with Terry. And I don't know. They got a lot better with that player in a multitude of different ways. And I'm certain that they're just thrilled thinking about what they can wind up doing with him in Cliff's offense. I'm sure Cliff is just, like, you know, in the room designing different ways to get him involved with Debo and his versatility. And like, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this year, man.
No, I know he's the number one punt returner on their board, not to mention what he brings offensively, hopefully in supplement to Debo, or if Debo doesn't wind up working out, replacing Debo kind of long-term. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. An easy button for Jaden over the next, hopefully, 5-10 years here in D.C. Todd McShay is with us. Last question for Todd on the way out here. Todd, I do a podcast with Logan Paulson, who played 10 years in the league as well. And Logan, actually, unknowing that you were coming on the show today, sent me your most recent episode this morning and was like, I really like this premise. And for those that haven't had a chance to listen to it, Todd and his crew went back and looked at the draft and was like, basically, what can we learn? What did we get wrong? As opposed to the typical, like, oh, this guy got overdrafted, underdrafted because it was different than my board. You guys looked at it as like, why did we get it wrong based off of what we thought versus maybe what the league is telling us? Why did you want to embark on that? And what were maybe the one or two biggest things macro as opposed to the individual lessons that you talk about on the pod that you learned from doing that exercise?
I wanted to do it because I've always been shown the door, like on Monday after the draft. Okay, that's the front door. The highway's up there. You take 84 to 90, you'll be home in 2 hours. We'll see you in August, you know? So, I just feel like this is the time of year that I've never been able to go back and actually evaluate. And like today we have another show that's coming out in just an hour or so. And it's about offensive skill position players that were drafted in the AFC, and we'll do the NFC on Monday. So I've never been able to do these types of shows before because no one really wanted to talk about it. And I wanted to start our off season with, all right, and Gary Horton got me into the business. He worked with Belichick and Saban and all those guys in the Browns, and he bounced around the league and was with like Frank Kush and Mike White in college. And he started this 33rd scouting department, if you will. And we worked with NFL teams for a couple of years and realized we needed to make a salary, and we wound up with Sporting News and then ESPN. But one of his early lessons to me was, like, you can have your opinion and you need to be strong in your opinion and believe what you say. But I also want to remind you, there's a lot of really smart people and a lot of really, you know, money-rich organizations that are investing a lot of money into this. So, like, the premise needs to always be, and I think what we need to help represent sometimes, is they didn't just wake up in the morning and try to screw it up, right? And so, like, I always hear after, like, well, they, you know, they did a terrible job based off of my rankings and my rank. Okay, but, like, maybe they just got it right, and they've got 13 people in their scouting department, and they have all sorts of resources. Maybe it's just better than my eye on this specific player, or had more information. But maybe for them, player 23, you know, on my board deserved to be pick 9 because he just fits what they want to do. And it's not reaching for need. It's actually they know their system. So we went through the entire draft and just picked out, Steve mentioned, I'm my co-host who I've worked with for 25 years. We picked out guys. Like, I wasn't as high on Teterow and McMillan. But you look at the situation he's in, and you need to have a smaller quarterback, and now he's got bigger targets in Carolina. And so we went through and tried to figure out, all right, here are the spots that we were way off our rankings versus where they were drafted. Let's do an honest assessment, stick to our evaluation, but let's show, okay, maybe this will work. And if it does work, what are the lessons that we can learn?
I love it. And there's a really good chance that that's going to be the premise of our Take Command show tomorrow, because Logan likes the exercise. And who am I to argue with a 6'5", 275-pound man, Todd? That's certainly not going to be me.
I would not do that. And I appreciate him watching and tell him I said hello.
I will. Todd McShay, you can listen to The McShay Show on Spotify and wherever you get your podcast. You can also get The McShay Report, the newsletter on the NFL draft from The Ringer. Todd, this was great. Hopefully, now that you're not hibernating from now till August, we find another thing that you want to talk about Commanders related. You're welcome back anytime.
Sounds good, man. Good luck to you. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Todd McShay, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, the Dallas Cowboys traded for George Pickens. What a headline. Let's dive into it with our pal Mike Leslie from WFAA ABC Television in Dallas next here on the Team 980.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.